Testing one, two, three. Testing one, two, three.
I'd like to welcome you all to tonight's July 14, 2014, Othello Regular City Council Meeting. Would you all please rise? Start with prayer, and then we'll have John Wallace lead us in a pledge of allegiance. Lord, we thank you tonight and ask that you would give this council wisdom and bless the citizens of this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get going into our meeting, I want to check and do a sound check. Is everybody here able to hear my voice? Anybody experiencing any hearing difficulties? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to item 1.3, roll call. All our council members here are present except for Angel Garza, who had a prearranged family vacation, so you'll be he won't be with us tonight. So with that, I would ask for a motion to excuse Angel Garza tonight.
I made that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to excuse Angel Garza from tonight's meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.4 on our agenda tonight is citizen input. Are there any citizens who have information that they would like to bring to the council or request? Sean Bates.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street, Othello, and I'm here to address the council's and grievances this evening. The topics I wish to cover are, first, the history of the public records policy of Othello related to documents and information and problems with current policy. Secondly, a current Public Records Act request relative to information about a windfall tax the city received and the city not providing information, thereby dragging the process out. And third, evidence that we have that indicates there's roughly $9 million in the investment account, some of which came from previous practices that the city seen arising that account double the dollars for a four-year span of time. So first, as we all know, may remember, at the first council meeting this year, my friend Michael Crozier and I approached this council and spoke about the difference between documents and information. As explained, a document is a paper or file that can be printed out and provided upon request that has specific identifiable information. The council was...
Sean?
Yes, sir.
Could you hold just a moment?
Sure.
Mike, are you having trouble hearing?
Yeah, the microphone's not picking up any sound from Sean's voice.
Can you hold on just a moment?
I need to get him to start all over again.
Can we hold on just a moment, Sean?
Just have him talk it and adjust it better when he's talking.
Yeah.
Check one, two, check. Microphone check one, two. Check. Testing one, two, three. Check. 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 Check.
Is it turned on here at this level?
Answer, would you tap on a second?
No. That's what Jerry was saying. Plug it in.
We have these problems with the GPS sometimes too.
Let's try again.
Okay, here, let's turn that down just a bit. Okay, all right, just test here until Michael raises
his hand. Test.
Are you okay?
Test.
All right, good.
Very good.
All right, sorry, Sean.
I appreciate it.
Why don't we start over?
Let's start over. For the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street, Othello, and I'm here to address council with some grievances this evening. The topics I wish to cover are History of the public records policy of Othello related to documents and information and problems with the current policy. Number two, a current Public Records Act request relative to information about a windfall tax the city received and the city not providing information, thereby dragging the process out. Third, evidence we have indicates there is roughly $9 million in the investment account, some of which came from practices that are, we find grievous, and the city seeing a rise in that account of double the dollars in a four-year time span. Number one, as we all know and may remember, at the first council meeting this year, my friend Michael Crozier and I approached this council and spoke about the difference between documents and information. As explained, a document is a paper or file that can be printed out and provided upon request that has specific identifiable information. The council has recently adopted a policy called documents, which is posted out in the lobby. One of the things council will recall is that Mr. Crozier was tasked in the mid-80s by two former mayors to write a policy and procedure for documents and information that was very liberally constructed to allow the citizenry maximum access and insight into the workings of our local government. These mayors were Lyle Menser, who helped sponsor the hand-carved wood plaques that lined the south wall of the City Hall vestibule, and Ted Muscott, who won his race for mayor over incumbent Stan Case by a margin of 8-1 due to a host of circumstances. Not the least of which was the city paying for sidewalk construction, which was supposed to have been paid for through a local improvement district. These men mentored the young Michael Crozier and urged him to craft a policy and procedure for documents and information in 1986. In the year 2000, Mr. Crozier was living in New York and had concern about the policy and procedure he had written and was adopted by council in 1986, and whether or not it was still being used by the city of Othello to protect and serve the community relative to providing documents and information. He corresponded with the city by letter, the city responded by letter, and also attached the policy and procedure he recognized as having been the one he wrote. He rested confident in the satisfaction that the 1986 policy was still in effect, that Othello was continuing to be served by that public records policy. Now, because council sets policy, I have a serious question. The city has provided copies of former versions of public records request policies to us that date back to 1998. That's as far back as the archive goes when I've asked for these documents. In studying these documents, we find that the council was cut out of the process of approving each change and iteration of the public documents and information policy. Because council had the authority to approve policy and ordinances, I ask whether some or most of the policies on file from the 1998 policy to the present were ever valid in the first place due to the fact that they were not approved by council. It may seem like a small thing, but I don't see where a lawyer, the mayor, or any city employee can single-handedly usurp the authority of this duly elected council body to enact policy and procedure as a legislative body of the community. What I'm saying is, to put a point on it, this is the first time we've seen documentation, this new policy, documentation from the city regarding the policy and procedure for public documents. The council is listed as the authority who put the policy into effect. And there's one more problem. The policy the council recently voted to approve, we believe, is unconstitutional. In the spirit of quid pro quo, I would like to give you the information that shows it's unconstitutional, and I would like, on the other hand, to have council readopt the provision for information in the public records policy and procedure. Secondly, number two tonight, I want to address a public records request I recently made regarding a windfall tax the city received back in 2011. I asked the city what had happened to $1.4 million the state refunded to the city for overpayment of natural gas taxes. On the agenda tonight, we see discussion to adopt changes recommended to the council by code publishing, city staff, and the city attorney. Tonight, you will be discussing Othello Municipal Code Chapter 3, titled Revenue and Finance. The proposed changes are listed in red for your consideration of the changes proposed. And I have a question that maybe many of you have already considered. Am I the only person who notices the proposed change to the municipal code recommends 2-year statute of limitations for an aggrieved taxpayer to request a refund, and that state law RCW 82.32.060 has a 4-year schedule for a tax return attached to it? It strikes me as odd the city would be considering cutting the time span in half. And I'm just wondering out loud if it's council's intention to spike the three biggest natural gas users in the city, McCain Foods, Simplot, and SBZ, by intentionally abridging their right to get a refund. Now, the way this all relates to my public records request is that it's our belief, based on documents, that the city received a windfall tax in 2011, deposited it into the general fund, then transferred dollars to the investment account. By the way, the investment account has monies for the upcoming sewer treatment project. Is that correct, Mr. Spencer?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And also has dollars in there that we're not that we are not persuaded even belong there. And this brings me to my point, which is that council's recent adoption of a constitutionally defective procedure and policy for documents precludes asking for and receiving information. If a citizen were able to ask for information under the city policy and receive straight answers like I just got now from Mr. Spencer, we wouldn't have to make so many requests for documents, which has become like pulling teeth to extract answers to the questions we want information for. Third, and lastly for tonight, I want to direct council's attention to the reserve account. That account grew to double the size in a five-year span during an economic downturn that spawned unemployment nationwide somewhere between 11 and 15%. We believe that monies from several sources went to that account that did not belong there. We think that the $1.4 million windfall tax went there. We think that the $860,000 from the half-cent optional sales tax enacted in 1985 went there, along with other funds. We are not certain that those dollars should have wound up there, and we are also of the opinion that the street improvement dollars should be restored back to the street improvement program from the reserve account plus interest. We have stood here before council in the past. Council has seen a presentation by Mr. Crozier that details how several revenue sources have been directed and moved in a circle contrary to the wishes of the people enshrined in our laws and ordinances. We again make the assertion that things are askew and ask council to take a critical look to inspect these things before voting in favor of this proposed change to OFL Municipal Code Chapter 3 tonight. So in summation, it's our opinion that, number one, the new public records policy is unconstitutional and therefore void, and the new public records policy triples the time that it takes to get a straight answer because council has precluded information from anything other than documents. It's documents only now, not information. Two, the three biggest businesses in town and the taxpayers at large deserve their excess tax dollars back and do not need the excessive burden of oppressive anti-business taxation by the council. Three, the investment account is bloated with dollars that should never have gone there in the first place, and now before council is an item to consider reducing the time for a tax reimbursement to 2 years rather than to allow citizens and businesses to get a refund within a four-year time window as prescribed by RCW 82.32.060. We're not sure that council even has the authority to reduce the time span for a tax refund from the state law. And when I was looking over the notes regarding Othello Municipal Code Chapter 3 changes in red, I noticed the new title, overpayment of tax, penalty or interest, credit or refund, interest rate, statute of limitations, references RCW 82.32.060, and I noticed on the state law, RCW 82.32.060, interest at the rate of 3% per annum must be allowed by the department. This is dealing with a refund.
Could you summarize, please?
Yeah. Basically, it's plus interest according to state law in a four-year time span. So I wanted to bring all this to council's attention, and thank you.
Thank you. I can assure you, on your item number one, public records, what we're doing is not unconstitutional. And at least that's our position. You're free to disagree. As far as the windfall tax and the $9 million investment accounts and where the money is, a city government operates with a finance officer, an administrator, and its mayor council form of government. We're subject to audit by the state auditor's office. So if there is something that we're not doing correctly, I think really where you're going is mainly just disagreements on how we're handling our money, but to allege that we're doing it illegally or any, inference to that matter, I think is just completely baseless, Sean. I'm sorry. So if it's all fine to you, we'll just agree to disagree. And will measure it up as a general complaint about the way we're running the city government, and your comments are noted. Thank you. Anybody else want to comment? All right, is there any other citizens caring to provide input tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on in our agenda. Item two, the approval of the agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Is there any discussion? Is there anything else that wants to, any of you council members want to add that isn't on here? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three, consent agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item four, current business, 4.1, shredding services. Debbie has a contract that she, for our document shredding. Deb, you have a presentation or information?
Yep. We previously have had our shredding services provided by Recall, and they came to City Hall or into the city, and they shred our toters once a month. They initially had the state contract, but their rates have been increasing, and one of the last bills was $112 from them. So we looked at other services and other types of services that we could provide or grab onto. We found that DeVry's Business Services were awarded the state contract, and we can piggyback back onto state contracts. Their current fees are $4 per toter, and they've also asked the state for an increase to $8 per toter, but I don't know if they've received that approval or not. Even with that increase, there's a savings of $88 per month. What we'd like to do is ask council to carry a motion to authorize the shredding services provided by DeVry Business Services out of Spokane.
Debbie, thank you for your research. Council?
Thank you.
I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to enter into a new shredding services contract with DeVry's Business Services. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.2, reappointing Claire Lackey to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission, according to OMC 2.21.010, Planning Commission appointments shall be made by the mayor and confirmed by the council. They serve six-year terms. Claire Lackey's term on the Planning Commission expired December 31st, 2013. She's agreed to serve another six-year term. And with that, I would entertain a motion appointing Claire Lackey to the Planning Commission.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
A motion made and seconded to appoint Claire, reappoint Claire Lackey to the Planning Commission. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Moving on to item 4.3, renewal of Adams County Development Council. Spencer has information for us.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Tonight, for your review, I have an agreement addendum number 7 to an annual contract that we have with the ACDC. And the ACDC, as you know, is an organization that promotes commercial, agricultural, and industrial growth within Adams County. And part of their one of the things they do is request funding to help them in their mission. So tonight I have an agreement addendum number 7 that renews our annual contract with them. It the cost is $37.82.50, which has been it's already been worked into our budget. We budgeted $3,800 for this contract, and that's the recommendation of staff that you accept this contract with the ACDC.
Council? Any questions of Spencer? Calculation?
Spencer, but comment.
Okay, go ahead.
As you know, I chair the ACDC this year, and we just had our monthly meeting last week. The county has hired a new economic coordinator, Stephen McFadden, used to be the publisher of the Ritzville Journal out of Ritzville. He was also our first chairman when we revitalized the Economic Development Council. Stephen is very sharp. He is very motivated, and he has some goals that he wants to achieve, and I think he had a chance to meet with you, Mayor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so he'll be, they're working out of the same office over here at the County Services Building with us now. Some of the other things that we've worked on is the foreign trade zone, which we have finally got all the paperwork through the attorneys, and that is on its way, and within 30 days we will be able to classify Adams County as a foreign trade zone to do work with companies that want to work with, bring export and import items in to help save on some of the taxes. We are currently redoing our web page to make it a little more friendly, offer a lot more information on it for site selectors and people of the community. One of those things that we're hoping to really add to it that would help is properties that are available within the county and property searches. We've also been working very closely with the Columbia Basin Railroad. We have a separate a group, a committee, a railroad committee. As you know, Columbia Basin Railroad, their lines just run out here at Bruce, and also they come on to Othello. And there has just been recently added on and a carrier being appointed for the Royal City line from Royal City to Othello. The state has just awarded a contract for that 24-mile line there. They don't know what they'll be hauling yet, but that line will be coming back on now, that portion of railroad. One of the issues that we're working with Columbia Basin Railroad is right now they currently have about 11,000 cars that go through the Bruce area. And they're hoping to be up to about 15,000 the next couple of years. But we have a couple of areas of congestion that are starting. And one of them is where they get on the main line at Connell. And we were recently approached a couple of weeks ago, actually about a month and a half ago, to form another coalition of other entities and people that are affected by that issue, and work with Burlington Northern to help expand that portion of the line to make it easier so we could handle more cars coming up in this portion of the county. So we've been making a lot of progress and headway lately.
Very good. Thank you, Ken. All right. Thank you.
Continue our relationship with the EDC.
Second.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Spencer. We have a motion made and seconded to continue our contract with the Adams County Development Council. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, we have a farmer's market update from Wade Ferris. Wade?
Mayor, Council, good evening. We've been talking about the farmer's market for a little bit now. We've done some research, as we talked about several council meetings ago. And as you may recall, we found that funding, grant funding, is not available for construction of a farmer's market, but it is available to help run the market and perhaps do some enhancements down the road. So tonight, what I want to do is present you with an option to either move forward or not. Some informal polling of, not polling, but questions to some engineering firms and some firms who actually construct these kinds of things, found it's going to cost us about $250,000, plus or minus 25 or so. And that was just, we asked them for an informal estimate, and that's what they gave us. Now, if we want to move forward, of course, we have to have funding. As you might recall, we talked about funding coming from the Civic Center Fund, which has approximately, Spencer, about $350,000. Is that correct? And if you do the math and look at how long it's taken us to accumulate $350,000, I think our grandchildren may be able to see a Civic Center, depending on the value of money 20 or 30 years from now. So as opposed to trying to do that, we propose that perhaps we should spend it on, as Jennifer said a month or so ago, a center of the community, i.e. a farmer's market that's a permanent-type farmer's market, and if you call the diagrams we put together. And so in order to move forward, we need some approval from the council to go out and seek, no joke, a request for proposals from some contractors and some folks who build this kind of thing. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the mayor. Mm-hmm.
Before you tonight, council is staff is asking for direction to is this project something that you want to see go forward, or you have some concerns and questions, because now's the time to bring those up. So
I do.
Yes, go ahead.
I think we need to keep saving that money for the Civic Center. Yes, it's only $350,000, but we just haven't been putting that much away. I think we could wait and find, see if we can work it into our budget for next year. And I think you could, I don't know what kind of building you're planning on putting up there, but for $250,000, you could build a great big building up there. I don't think it needs to be that big. It's not that big of a piece of property. I mean, if you're talking at just an outdoor farmer's market, you don't need four walls with air conditioning, and you know, you only need a few lights and stuff like that. Is, you know, for a farmer's market, something with the roof, a couple of walls.
Yeah, Councilman Snyder, the money comes from through site prep and doing things like that. And if you recall, Marvin's going to be two open-sided shelters with a stage in the middle, and perhaps a water feature, some other things. We may have to add a bathroom. It's handicapped accessible, that sort of thing. So we're looking at all that kind of stuff that goes with it. The cost of construction, as I'm sure you're aware, is pretty high. So obviously it's council decision, but it's not just for some big building. It's going to be a structure that's going to attract visitors to the city, as well as, you know, obviously a farmer's market to help out citizens and also low-income citizens. So that's more what it's for. I hear what you're saying, but that's to clarify what we're trying to build.
What's your concept of a civic center in Othello? I mean, what would you want to see there? And what would you think $350,000 could buy? Or even
I don't think $350,000 could buy a civic center. But it's a start, and if we don't start somewhere, we'll never have one.
So to summarize your position, you would prefer to continue to build towards a civic center, Mark, as opposed to taking a portion of the funds that are set aside now and building a farmer's market?
I think we could look into our budget, this upcoming budget, and see if we can find, you know, money from there. Maybe we can't, maybe we can, but it's just my opinion that we should keep putting away for that.
You mean to continue to keep funding and putting money aside into the
Civic Center.
Civic Center Fund?
Yep.
In other words, budget money into it every year till we get enough to build it. That's your preference?
That's my preference.
Okay. All right.
I believe we should still be putting the money away also, but I think the farmer's market is a good idea. However, I would like to know if there is, I know that there's no funding out there for construction of a farmer's market, but is there funding out there for construction of a civic center?
Don't know.
Yeah, that would be a good question. And I know that there's a lot of private grants out there that are geared towards things like civic centers for small communities, and they don't provide monies for maintenance and for the running of the center, but they do provide for construction. And I think we need to be looking into that simultaneously, because I think the farmers market is a great idea. It would be a community center in of sorts, but we do need a civic center. And it's something we need to continue to build towards.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years since we've put money into that fund, hasn't it? I think the last two budget cycles.
We did in 2000.
In 2013, we increased that fund by $50,000, and for the 3 years previous, we did $100,000 each.
Okay, so we didn't add
anything. So it's been in existence for 4 years?
Yeah.
And no more than 4 years?
We never added anything to it in this year's budget cycle.
Not in this year's, no. What's the conceptualization of a civic center in Othello? What are we looking at, guys?
When we were first looking at this,
yeah.
It was a community center. And I think they were looking in the $2 to $3 million range, but that was back.
But what would it consist of?
5-6 years ago. So what?
I think you're looking for a large place that could be meetings, that could be dances, it could be a lot of different things, possibly a commercial type kitchen. I don't know if you've ever been to the one down in Connell. I think that's kind of what they're visualizing. Some place that we could have events.
I love the farmer's market idea. I love that. I want to see that continue, because I think that would be a great place for community gathering, and not just used for the farmer's market purpose, but many other. I could see a lot of many other activities being used there at that.
That's the idea. Not just for a farmer's market, for other festivals and community events, hence the stage and open space that would be in between the buildings.
It just seems like it's part of a civic center already, you know, would become a part of a civic center. In the type of lifestyle that we have here in this rural community, you know, I mean, that would serve a great purpose as a portion of a civic center.
And it would be much less cost to upkeep, because it's pretty much an open thing, no air conditioning, obviously.
I mean, you put a stage there, people could have gatherings, you know. Church gatherings, it would be something that they could go to and rent. It has more than just one use, and the farmer's market is a use, but you could do more things with it.
And if that fund has only been in existence for 4 years and we've got $350,000 in it, I would be in favor of continuing to put money in the fund, but using some of the money for the farmer's market.
Fund the market now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to summarize what you're saying, yeah. Fund the market now.
Start looking for grants and keep funding that.
That market. Vision of a long-term civic center.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that the issue of a community center would be a wonderful item on a retreat agenda. You mentioned the vision for the city, and I think that's something that needs to be a vision of the city, and I think that would be a great subject for the a workshop to really take a good hard look at what we really want in a civic center or a community center, and what we could actually afford along with maintenance and operation of the facility. And we really kind of need that before we have a dollar number, I mean, on our savings.
What kind of building are we talking about for the farmer's market?
Were you at the, here when Jennifer briefed the farmer's market?
He must have missed it, Mark.
I think he was gone.
I think you missed me gone, Mark.
She made a presentation.
We just covered buildings. I mean, it wasn't even a building, it was
covered. It's a roof.
But it's paved.
We would have the stalls underneath, and everything would be paved. With the stage in the center.
Kind of in the
middle of the hill.
A metal building or a wood building? Or?
No, it's metal. It's a metal construction. It has a center post, and its condition is a square lot. like we have over there, off of Ninth and Pan, I believe. In fact, there is right there. Very good.
Center post cable, gable design.
So it'll be basically two of those, and then a stage in the middle as you bring them to a corner. Something fairly simple.
It seems like you could build something, that building, a lot less than $250,000. Because we're on a project that we're doing. We're doing two 600-foot buildings, and it's going to be about $250,000.
Yeah, again, this is preliminary estimates based on this, and this is pretty high-quality, durable construction is the idea. Something won't blow away with a big wind or have damage. You can see the concrete reinforced post in case somebody backs into it. Something's going to last a long time.
So, any other comments? Corey, do you have anything tonight?
I agree with Gina. I like going for this now, looking for grants for the Civic Center, and can't set the money back for it.
Mm-hmm. Eugene?
I'm leaning that way too.
Okay.
This means it'd be a whole lot quicker and faster, you know, to get something going and then keep building. So
this was going to give us something to utilize for now,
right,
and then we continue to work towards our right. Civic Center.
And one of the things probably in a, as Ken brought out, in a visioning session with the council, is there's two schools of thoughts on civic centers. One of them is the community and the public dollars buy it and then and maintain it. And there's the other that it should be done by private. And I know Wino has purchased property, and he's been to the planning department, building a planning department, about building a building for all the weddings and parties that he throws. And that's something that typically in larger cities is done by hotels and motels. So that's something that would probably be a good discussion for us to have in that, as Ken suggested. So tonight, though, staff is asking us, do we go forward and continue on this path, or do we stall this project? And as far as a you know, a farmer's market on this property down here. So with that,
do we need a motion, or you just want direction?
No, there's a motion.
Go on. What would our next steps be?
Good question. The next step would be to actually go out for a request for proposal, really. And obviously we haven't spent any money yet. So
is that where engineering and design?
Engineering, design, and obviously construction. And see what the real costs are. Then we'll come back to council and go, okay, here's how much it's really going to cost. And if it's prohibitive, obviously, or something outrageous, we'll come back to council and go, you know, do something else. But we have, the preliminary cost we've gotten is around $250,000. So before we spend any more time doing this and go out for a real request for proposal, we want to see if it's going to something. If we find something, it's going to be, you know, $240,000 or $260,000, something in the ballpark below what we have in the piggy bank, so to speak. Then we proceed and we come back to council and go, okay, here it is. Here's the role that we want to do. Now do we want to really do this?
I'd like to make a motion to commit Civic Center funds towards the farmers market project.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. We've had discussion anymore. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you very much. Thank you, Wade. Mm-hmm.
I made a motion to commit Civic Center funds towards the farmers market project.
That was the motion.
I seconded it.
Okay, moving on to, well, thank you, Wade. I think you might as well stay there. Item 4.5, contract with Proffman for recruiting planning director. Wade?
Not that I'm trying to spend the city's money, really not, but, because I'm supposed to protect it, but in this case, we have used the property agency a couple of times now, and I think we're pleased with the result for the most part. And so, as you know, we have looked at taking our position, our part-time position, our consultant position as the city planner, building inspector, and decided exactly what we need. We used the Proppman company to consult on that. They came up with the suggestion or the strong recommendation to go with a city planner position. So in looking at that and looking at ways to recruit and hire, I asked Propp to come up with something that would be somewhere between them doing nothing for us and the full Monty like we did with the police chief. And so they came up with a proposal that you have in your packet there to provide some services, which include going out and finding candidates using their resources, which are pretty strong, pretty big, and to find us some planner candidates. Once they did the background and everything on those candidates, they would present us with a list of candidates, which we would then be able to whittle down, and they would basically hand it over to us at that point. That would include identifying the position, develop the position description with us, a lot of things that they do very well. We've talked about this extensively, the mayor and I have, and this is another one. We don't want to make a mistake. We want to have the right planner as we move the city forward in the year and far future. So what you have before you as a motion is to proceed with this contract to run around $10,000, again, to get us to the point where they give us the candidates, and then I'll bring them in, interview them, and present the council with the top two or three to consider, and then we'll make a decision at that point. Questions?
My understanding from conversations with you and with the gentleman from Proppman that city planners are few and far between and hard to find.
That's my understanding too.
I think that this would be a very good idea to utilize their extensive resources in finding the recruits and then interviewing them ourselves.
Thank you, Gina. Council, do you have any other comments or questions of, excuse me, of Wade? I think that the process we just recently went through in selection of replacing our police chief, they did an excellent job in that process. I would entertain a motion to have the Proppman company help us to recruit a city planner through their services in this contract.
And I'll have a contract ready by the next council meeting to vote on hard numbers and what they're going to do.
Second. Wait, Mark.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Item 4.6 on our agenda. Molly has a report. A resolution to authorize the use of city property for the 2014 Latino State Softball Tournament.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. City staff has received a request for use of Lions Park in conjunction with the rental of the Lions Park Athletic Complex. Charles Garcia has requested to use Lions Park to extend the facilities available to the participants of the Latino State Softball Tournament. And the Latino State Softball Tournament is scheduled to take place on Saturday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 24th. Setup will begin on Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. And with this, what the use of Lions Park will do is give the tournament and the participants use of the space to be able to have a DJ available, and also it will allow them use of one of the park shelters for this event. And so with the tournament, with the rental of the Lions Park Athletic Complex, the tournament will receive two public works staff members for 8 hours for each day of the tournament to work the fields. And in addition to the cost for use of the Lions Park Athletic Complex, the use of the park would be $200, the special event fee of $200 for the estimated attendance of 150 to 500 people. And that will be in addition to the $1,000 Lions Park Athletic Complex fee, which is the $800 tournament rental and the $200 concession stand use fee. So with that, staff requests that council approve the request for use of city property for the Latino State Softball Tournament.
Thank you, Molly, for the information. Council, do you have any questions? None? With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve the mayor sign the resolution 2014 authorizing use of city property for the 2014 Latino State Softball Tournament.
I'll make that motion. I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Our next item is the circus is coming to town. Molly, you want to tell us about that?
I'd love to. So, council and some of the citizens may remember back in 2012, the American Crown Circus came to Othello and set up in the Lions Park Athletic Complex in our soccer field. The event is a two-day event. They have two shows per night, and they have requested to come back to Othello on their way through. I believe they're in Sunnyside the day before, and so they've requested to use the Lions Park soccer field again Tuesday, August 26th, and Wednesday, August 22nd or 27th, to host their circus. Their circus is a one-ring European-style circus. Doesn't have any exotic animals or anything like that. So we it'll be family-friendly entertainment, and so what they will do is they will move in on the night before the event, so Tuesday or the 26th. Oh gosh, now I'm lost. Okay. So they'll set up for the event on Tuesday the 26th, the day of the event, and then they'll hold the event that night, two shows. And the interesting thing about the American Crown Circus is rather than paying the special event fee, they have requested to pay the city 15% of their total ticket sales for each show. And I believe in 2012 that equaled about $1,900. So circus has been made aware that the city will not be responsible for any overnight security of any of their equipment, and they have been advised to stay in the parking lot on the gravel lot on 9th and Pine Street for their overnight facilities. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and if not, we just ask that council approve the American Crown Circus's request for use of city property. One thing to note is we have changed, we are working with Washington City's insurance agency to just ensure that our minimums for insurance are right before we ask them for an insurance certificate. So those amounts in the facility use agreement are to be determined as soon as we hear back from them.
Okay. I just have one question, Catherine. Can we deviate from our current policy and use plan to the proposed 15% that the circus has requested?
In this situation, I think that it's to your benefit. So the reason behind your policy was just to make sure that you were actually getting adequate compensation for the use of your public parks. So in this case, you're getting more than adequate compensation.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any questions of Molly, Council? With that, Molly's recommended that we approve this facility use agreement with the American Crown Circus. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Next item on the agenda, 4.8, resolution to surplus fire equipment. Debbie, you have information for us?
Thank you, Mayor. You have a resolution before you tonight to consider to surplus about 800 feet of 5-inch diameter fire supply line, fire hose. Adams County is no longer using this. It is city equipment, and they have purchased new hose to replace the older hose. The hose is about 30 years old. It does have some very small pinholes in it, but the City of Ritzville Fire Department is very interested in obtaining the hose. They have offered to purchase the hose for $300, but the city is allowed by RCW to transfer property to another governmental entity on whatever terms and condition it deems appropriate, which includes a donation. So the decision tonight for the council to consider is, one, surplusing the fire hose, and would you like to sell it to the City of Ritzville Fire Department for $300 or donate it to them to be used in their fire service?
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
I think first item on the agenda is to declare the property surplus, so I'd entertain a motion to do that.
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded to declare property surplus fire hoses of the fire department. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Second part of the discussion is whether to take the Ritzville Fire Department up on their offer for $300 for this 800-foot of hose, or to basically donate it to the Ritzville Fire Department.
Did you say it's been in use for 35 years?
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, it says it right there. 800 feet, 30 years old.
I think I would be in favor of just donating it to the fire department because it's going to promote good feelings between the two cities, and I think that's a good thing. And for 30 years of service, I don't think we need $300 for the fire hose.
I agree.
Okay.
Do we need a consensus or a motion?
Motion.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to for the city of, or excuse me, the Adams County Fire District Fire Department to donate the 800-foot fire hose to the Ritzville Fire Department.
I'll make that motion.
I don't think the Adams County Fire District owns the hose. We own the hose, so it's got to be the city of
Othello
owns
the hose. Yeah.
Yes.
For the city to donate.
Okay. Somebody want to revise that motion then?
I make a motion for the City of Othello to donate our 800 feet of fire hose to the City of Ritzville Fire Department.
Okay. We have a motion?
Second.
Now we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Ordinance 4.0. Or item 4.9, ordinance to amend OMC Title III, Revenue and Finance. Spencer?
Thank you very much. As you know, we're slowly working our way through the Othello Municipal Code, updating things, and making sure everything is consistent across chapters, consistent with our practices here, and also up to date with the current laws in the state of Washington. Last week, we reviewed these proposed changes to Title III, and this week I'm ultimately looking for a motion to accept the attached ordinance that actually makes some hard changes to the Title III of our OMC. There are really two different categories of changes. There are some really light changes that change some wording, like clerk administrator. We're changing the term clerk administrator to either clerk or administrator or finance officer, so we're honing down on the specific duties. And then there are some other changes that were at the suggestion of our city attorney. I was just speaking with Catherine before the meeting, and she was available and ready and willing to answer any specific questions that you might have about some of those larger changes in Title III. With that, we can entertain some questions, or we can just go ahead with the motion.
I just have one quick question, Catherine. In reference to the two-year, for the 3.02.120, the overpayment of the tax, when he was talking about the four-year and the state regulations as opposed to the 2 years that we have in the ordinance. Is there any problems with us having a stricter regulation?
If you'll recall, the AT&T litigation is what prompted some of the cities to take another look at their statute of limitations or whether or not they even had a statute of limitations in their municipal codes. And the shorter statute of limitations came at the recommendation of the attorneys who are handling your ongoing defense in the AT&T now new singular wireless litigation. The statute for the State Department of Revenue, B&O taxes, is not the statute that governs the city's authority to impose B&O taxes. That falls under 35.21. But I'm certainly happy to take another look at the statute of limitations issue if the council has concerns about that. But two considerations for the statute of limitations that I would encourage the council to be mindful of that I think definitely need to be included in your code. One is the statute of limitations so that you're not wide open on how many years back a taxpayer can claim. And remember, to a large degree, you depend upon the information that the taxpayer provides to calculate the tax. And they, as in the AT&T case, oftentimes have pretty much exclusive control over that information. So we're usually the last to catch those kinds of mistakes. And number two, you need to have a process in there, in your code, for handling and actually processing either an overpayment claim or an underpayment claim by the city. So those are the changes that I was trying to get established in your code.
Thank you, Catherine.
Would it change the process, some of our taxes that the Department of Revenue collects for us, and they actually administer the collection for us, and in some cases the reimbursement of overpayment? Would this policy change that? Because the Department of Revenue, I know, has their...
No, they will continue to process on their end pursuant to Chapter 82.
Okay.
But there should be no conflict between the 2 years that's in this ordinance and the 4 years that is in the RCWs.
Not that I'm aware of, but as I said, if you want me to take another look at that, I can certainly do that.
Council? So either we have a motion to make to adopt this resolution or this ordinance change, or we would table for our city attorney to do some further research.
I would be comfortable with the attorney looking at that just a little bit more closely, just verifying that we're correct before we go ahead and vote it in.
Back in 2 weeks.
The next meeting.
Yep.
In 2 weeks.
All right. I don't think we need a motion for that. We just have a consensus of the council.
Certainly. I would just ask that the council continue on with any other questions it has on the remaining changes. So if there are other questions that need clarification, we can address those at the same time.
Is there other questions at the moment?
No questions.
Okay, none tonight. Thank you very much, Spencer.
Great. I'll bring the revised one back to council at our next meeting.
Thank you.
Number five, unfinished business. On our agenda, is there any unfinished business before the council? Item six, new business. Is there any new business to come before the council tonight? I would like to make a mayor's announcement and have Lynette Carruthers, and that is with regard to the beautification ceremony on July 24th. Lynette, would you like to tell the council what you have planned?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On Thursday, the 24th, that will be 10 days from today, up on our new block between 14th and 13th, we're doing a grand opening ribbon cutting celebration. We're planning to close the street between 5 and 6 p.m. At 5:30, the ribbon cutting ceremony will begin, and we'll be there for anywhere from 20 to 25 minutes, and I cordially invite each and every one of you to be in the street there celebrating our new block beginning the Main Street Lighting and Beautification Project.
Thank you,
Lynn. Thank you, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In short, it's going to be a party, so the council is encouraged to come. This is a new honoring the partnership that's taken place, and there will be music, there will be food. No food.
No, it's get there, celebrate, and leave. Okay. Open the street up.
Okay, very good. So, council, you're encouraged to come. Thank you. Item 7, executive session. Item 7.1, evaluation of a new employee. Council will now adjourn at 7:56 p.m. to go into executive session pursuant to RCW 41.3110G to review the qualifications of an applicant for public employment. The executive session is expected to last no more than 10 minutes. No action will be taken during the executive session. And then we expect to take action following the executive session. So I would like... I'd like to reconvene this meeting at 8:15 p.m. Go to item 8.1, consideration to appoint a new police chief. And at this time, the Othello City Council, Mayor and Council and staff have interviewed, along with members of the community and law enforcement community, candidates to replace our police chief. And as a result of those interviews, the mayor would like to make a recommendation to appoint Phil Shank as our new police chief. The terms of his financial terms of his contract would be at $90,000 this year and $92,000 next year. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to appoint him and direct staff to prepare a contract for your approval at our next meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
And as we discuss that, those are also subject to terms that he's still employment terms that he needs to complete. And among those are a psychological evaluation and a background check. And once those are completed, then the discussion will continue at the next when the contract's presented. But we have made that offer to him and he's accepted. So at this time, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of appointing Bill Shank as our next police chief? All those say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Is there any other business to come before the City Council tonight? With that, I will adjourn the meeting at 8:17 p.m.